1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A deadly shooting at a grocery store south of Little Rock, Arkansas. Nine people were shot, two died. This man was nearby.
We heard some popping going off, and at first we thought maybe it was the fireworks stand. And then we heard the sirens coming and the police pulling up, and people started running all over the place.
Another eyewitness.
It was just one right after the other. It was nonstop. It's actually like you'd see on TV in an active shooter situation where he's loaded down or whoever.
Officials say the shooter was critically injured and has been taken into custody. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders issuing a statement that her prayers are with the victims. The latest mass shooting comes on the day the Supreme Court ruled 8-1 on a gun control law that prevents domestic abusers from being in possession of a firearm. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The security plan is in place for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle says the feds are working with local law enforcement to keep everyone safe.
This team has been preparing for the convention for over a year. They have been thoughtful about community impact, traffic concerns, businesses, and most importantly, ensuring a safe and secure convention for attendees and the city of Milwaukee.
Republicans prevailed in getting the protest zone moved out of Pear Marquette Park. The Dane County clerk is warning other local election officials about an email he calls an intimidation tactic. It tells clerks that sending out the newest absentee ballot envelopes might be election fraud. Scott McDonald tells the State Journal it's not true. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Cranberry Blossom Festival is underway in Wisconsin Rapids. Because of the rain forecasted today, the Downtown On Tap group has decided to move the band Barefoot Americans inside Whiskey Rapids Saloon. This means there won't be any face painting or vendors. Saturday's arts, crafts, and vendor fair will happen rain or shine. They'll be set up along West Grand Avenue between the bridge and 3rd Avenue South. The forecast is calling for rain tomorrow, so be sure to bring your umbrella. There is a brat fry happening today through Sunday. The Central Wisconsin High School Trap Team Booster Club has you covered for breakfast, lunch, or dinner anytime this weekend. They're working to raise money for Clay Target League Nationals in Michigan next month. You can head over to 998 Ranger Road, June 21st through the 23rd, from 10 to 5 on Friday, 8 to 6 on Saturday, and 8 to 5 on Sunday. You can help the Trap Team get to Nationals. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers bow to the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-6 loss to the Padres in San Diego. The crew giving up four runs in the first inning. Christian Yelich losing a pop fly in the lights at Petco Park, allowing San Diego to score. This one had a lot of twists and turns. Manager Pat Murphy.
No question. It was back and forth. I mean, a lot happened in this game. They turned a big double play there at a big time and that ball down. Great play. We lost the ball in the lights that you can't do anything about. Yeah. I mean, we walked the leadoff hitter to open the game, four pitches. We gave up two 0-2 home runs, very unusual, back-to-back. I've never seen that in 40-plus years of baseball.
Brewers pitcher Robert Gasser will be out for at least a year. The 25-year-old lefty has agreed to have Tommy John surgery for his sore left elbow. NFL, the Packers have added another place kicker to the roster. They claim James Turner off waivers from the Lions. Turner kicked for the Michigan Wolverines last season on their way to a national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save, because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
At T-Mobile, you can get the benefits you want and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, switch and keep your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800.
Via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit service, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. See T-Mobile.com.
Cloudy and cool with highs tapping 70. Showers and thunderstorms drench us this afternoon, into the evening, and throughout tomorrow, too. This will soak us with heavy rainfall totals of well over an inch, bringing the potential for flash flooding. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 21st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome our friend, Christy Inn. She is the director of the Hanna Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll catch up with her. Right now on the phone, we have with us Senate District 24 Representative, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good over here. I got to say, I have been hungry. We've been talking about the Cranberry Blossom Festival all morning, and I know that the had the Berry Festival going on, the Berry Breakfast going on. You were currently at that. How did that go?
It was a great turnout. It's always a fun event, and, you know, hats off to the Lions Club here who helped organize this, and great turnout. It's always great to not only, you know, see so many community members come out and enjoy the breakfast, but it's also, again, in June Dairy Month, to show appreciation for our dairy farmers. And what's always unique about the Dairy Berry Breakfast is that it's not just about supporting our dairy industry, but also recognizing all of our cranberry growers here in the state. So that's what makes the Dairy Berry Breakfast unique. It's not just about dairy, but also our cranberry industry, which is crucially important here in central and western Wisconsin. And yeah, it's always a fun time to come out, volunteer, and got to serve some cheese curds alongside Sheriff Becker and County Board Chair Lance Plimmel and many other great volunteers.
You know, these events, we love them. They're great for so many reasons that you touched on there. And any chance to support our ag industry, we're always going to take that. It also, I imagine, is a great opportunity to be out with the public, talking with not only somebody like Sheriff Becker, but your constituents, people of the community, and just really being one with the people. Regardless if any issues come up or anything like that, you're there. And yes, you have a job to do, but you're just a community member.
Well, yeah, and that's what I tell people all the time, that it's events like this that are really enjoyable for me. This is the actual fun part of the job, because as you can probably imagine, when we're down in Madison throughout session, especially during a budget season, there's so much insider baseball that goes on. And, you know, the everyday politics and the give and take, it's just, it can be a little bit of a strain, but it's always nice to get out of Madison, be back home in the district, and just you, the people you represent, and to hear what's on their minds, even if it's just them saying, asking you how your day's going, or, you know, keep up the good work, or even if they've got some friendly criticism, I take it all and within stride, because that's what you have to do in this job. And you know, that's why I'm always keeping my thumb on the pulse, and I'll be at the Pittsville breakfast tomorrow morning.
You know, we're talking dairy. I have to kind of segue into something that happened the other day on the 19th. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are requiring influenza A testing prior to the movement of lactating dairy cattle to fairs or exhibitions. This was something that you were behind as well. Can we talk more about that and what that means for our industry?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about making sure that, you know, we're essentially protecting our food supply chain. You know, I think when we look back at what happened throughout the pandemic, I mean, one of the scariest things was, and it still to this day kind of shocks me, that when you'd go into a grocery store and the shelves were practically bare. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've really tried to work on is, you know, what steps can we take proactively at the state level to ensure that, you know, God forbid we ever find ourselves in a situation like that again, that we can be better prepared and make sure that our food supply chain remains intact, whether it's things like, you know, animal protection, making sure that, you know, they're vaccinated and things like that. But even going further to making sure that, you know, even our food processors have the ability to, you know, process meat and animals and ensure that, you know, we don't run into those same impacts that we did back in 2020.
When it comes to our industry, our food ag industry, they do a great job keeping us safe, making, you know, double checking everything and crossing T's, dotting I's, all of that. But it's also on us to keep an eye on these things. And, you know, whether it's updating something or keeping up to date on things, it's important to be able to do that. How much are you involved with that industry and in keeping up on these things with the amount of things you have on your plate?
Oh, very, very involved. I mean, you know, ever since I entered the Senate, I mean, one of the committees that I've always requested to be on is the Ag Committee. Obviously, you know, representing an area of central and western Wisconsin, it's a very ag-heavy area of the state. And, you know, making sure that we're doing what we can to not only support industry, but also making sure, again, at the tail end, you know, the consumers, those individuals who go to the grocery store and buy milk, they buy meat, eggs, you name it, that they have reliable and safe food. And, you know, whether it's doing things to promote trade, like for instance, legislation was recently signed into law not that long ago by Governor Evers that would increase our trade partnerships with countries like Ireland, or even a couple of years ago, increase in our ginseng exports and doing what we can to find new markets, new opportunities that in turn are going to help our farmers, especially right now with, you know, where prices are at right now and everyone's being pinched by high inflation. Anything that we can do to help our farmers, you know, I'm always reminded of that famous quote by President Kennedy that the farmer is the only person in our economy who buys at retail, sells at wholesale, and pays freight both ways. So anything that we can do to support them ultimately supports all of us in the long run.
It's a big question, but I got to ask, do you think that is the biggest thing facing our ag industry going forward as far as challenges go and things that we need to work on or maybe run it by some bills and have in place for?
Well, I think there's a number of different challenges that we face. I mean, you know, I think the big thing that kind of concerns me right now is, one, the average age of our farmers here in the state is approaching 60 years old. And what are we doing to promote the next generation of farmers here in the state? And, you know, this was a conversation I recently had. I had the opportunity to tour Chapman Farms, which is a large dairy farm outside of Tolma in Monroe County. And they're a third generation. And, you know, one of the things that is on the back of the mind of the current operator is, okay, yep, his son is, you know, going to take up the mantle, but who's after that? So what can we do to promote and help with farm succession plans and ensure that, you know, agriculture remains a viable economy here in the state? And what can we do to entice and encourage people to go in that profession? Because we obviously, you know, our farmers here in the state not only feed people here in the state of Wisconsin and across the country, but also around the world.
Well said, because I think that, and I'm not alone on this one, I can hear it from you, I can hear it from others. We do a great job of promoting our dairy industry, of promoting our ag industry, whether it is the Dairy Berry Breakfast or, you know, we have Allison Dairyland join us once a month almost, things like that. We do a good job of it. But this time of year, and when we're talking about these things, in the front of my heart is certainly our industry, our farmers, and what you're talking about there of who's going to pick up these farms afterwards. I'd like to see us do even a better job of not only bringing awareness to Wisconsin dairy and buying Wisconsin-made products and such, but how the people making those products are doing and what we can do to help them and help them in the future going forward.
Well, that's just it. And especially now, I mean, when you take a look at agriculture as a whole here in the state, it has evolved dramatically, even in the course of the last 50 plus years. I mean, obviously, egg implements are much bigger, much more expensive than they were 50, 60 years ago. And that's really tough for someone to really break into when you're looking at upfront cost of upwards of $1 million plus dollars when they a potato harvester or a corn harvester is upwards of $250,000. I don't know too many people who have that cash lying around. And so taking a look at what other states have done, it's like, for instance, Iowa, you know, they help new farmers with below market loans to help them, you know, get into this industry. And I think it's things like that that we need to explore and build upon. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel here in the state, but I think we can certainly take a look at other places and, you know, see what works and tweak it and adapt it for Wisconsin and essentially continue to ensure that our ag economy remains vibrant and strong moving forward.
You recently attended a community leader engagement event hosted by the 88th Readiness Division to learn more about the mission of Fort McCoy and its impact on our region and the economy. How did that go? What did you learn from that? What did you take from that meeting?
I'm always blown away every time I get the chance to go out and visit and tour Fort McCoy, because I always leave learning something I didn't know before. And so this time around, we had Major General Baker, who was the head of the 88th Readiness Division. And we had a delegation of several of my colleagues in both the State Assembly and the State Senate, along with Congressman Derek Van Orden. And what's so unique about Fort McCoy, and this is one of the stats that I didn't know until Monday, is that roughly 80% of all of our military medical personnel in the Army Reserves receive some training from Fort McCoy. And they have incredible facilities where they use these very advanced mannequins that can simulate virtually any type of scenario that might be encountered on a battlefield, whether it's a gunshot wound or, an IED explosion, even a childbirthing mannequin, where they can run different scenarios and really put our soldiers, test their mettle. And the ability to do so in a controlled environment, it pays dividends, because when they encounter that in real world scenarios, it's much different, but they can essentially recreate the same environments that you'd encounter on a battlefield. And so it's a way for them to really get a taste for what they might encounter overseas or doing support missions here at home. And what was also unique for me, we also got to take an aerial tour in a Black Hawk helicopter. And my wife was actually questioning why I signed up for it, because I'm not a big flyer myself, and I'm not a big heights guy, but I figured, you know what, it's a helicopter. They don't fly as high as airplanes. They don't go as fast. It'll be fine. And so initially we took off on this Black Hawk, and I was on one of the outside seats with the doors open, and it really tested my nerves. To the point where I'm sitting there telling myself, I don't think I can last an hour in this thing with the doors open. And I think God must have been listening, because then it started to rain. And so we touched back down, they closed the doors, and after that, I was good to go.
I've flown plenty. I've never been in a helicopter. That's a different animal. That's a whole different thing. It gives you a different appreciation for that, too, I imagine.
No, absolutely. And I shared this with Congressman Van Orden. Now, keep in mind, you know, he's a former Navy SEAL. So not only did he fly in helicopters, he jumped out of them for fun. Yeah. I said, I'll be honest, Congressman, this was a little bit unnerving. And he started laughing. He's like, what are you worried about? You're strapped in. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say. You spent your career jumping out of these darn things. And but it was a really, really great experience, a great tour. And but what's so unique about Fort McCoy, what sets it apart from so many other military installations, is that, you know, the resources that they provide different divisions and regiments, it's so unique by having the motor pool, where, you know, essentially, you know, different divisions don't have to drive their equipment all the way in. It's there at Fort McCoy. So it's a huge cost saver for our reserves and our National Guard. And it's really unique. And it's one of those that, you know, I don't think that a lot of people will really appreciate just what a huge economic impact and footprint that Fort McCoy has for our state.
I think one of the more important things going forward for all of us as human beings, and especially as Americans, is the idea of, I empathize with something, but I get that I don't get it. I can feel for this situation. I was partially raised by military men. I understand what it's like to certain parts of military life, but I also understand that I don't know what it's like to be in combat. I don't know what it's like to be in a helicopter or certain things, but I can empathize with it. Part of how we get there is by experiencing more of these things, doing what Senator Teston did and being there at these events or visiting your local VFW and hey, how can I help? What do you guys need? Talking to veterans, talking to current enlisted soldiers. This is how you have a little more not only empathy for these things, but understand it a little bit better and know what it is to be a soldier in our military.
Well, that's just it. And, you know, I never wore the uniform, and I've got the utmost respect for those that do. And, you know, I think that's one of those things that we take it for granted. And if it weren't for those men and women who sign up to serve and enlist, you know, we wouldn't have the ability for us to go out and, you know, tour a dairy farm or go out and enjoy a dairy berry breakfast. And it's one of those in the back of our minds that we also need to be mindful of and thankful for, because in the environment that we are today, with all the uncertainty and all the global, you know, things that are going on around the world, whether it's over in Ukraine or North Korea, or even, you know, the issues with China or the Middle East, it's we've got to be thankful for what we have. And you know, it's, you know, those individuals who step up and serve that afford us the liberties and the ability to live free and you know, it, just be thankful for them.
We're speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now. And, sir, you have an upcoming event that is going to honor the bill that names the stretch of Interstate 90 from Monroe County to the state line, the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Walkers Memorial Highway. This is something you've been working on for a while, and it's very important to you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. So I know we've talked about this in the past, but for those who may be not aware, so I think a lot of times when people think of Code Talkers, they think of the Navajo and, you know, the, you know, that Nicolas Cage movie, you know, dealing with the Code Talkers.
Wind Talkers, or that's something that's called?
Yeah, Wind Talkers.
Yeah.
And yet there were many tribes that were enlisted as Code Talkers where they used their native language to basically send, you know, communications about enemy positions and things of that nature. And yet the enemy forces were never able to decipher their native language. As a result, it saved countless GI lives. And what's so unique about this is that because their mission was so secret, many of these Code Talkers until recently were never recognized. Many of these individuals took their mission to their grave, not even telling their family members. And so there were roughly about 14 members of the Ho-Chunk Nation who were Code Talkers in the Second World War. And we, in recent years, as their names became known, we introduced legislation to designate a portion of Interstate I-90 from Toma to La Crosse and the Wisconsin-Minnesota border to recognize their efforts. And so this Saturday down in Baraboo, there's going to be a ceremony commemorating the passage of this bill. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with some of the surviving family members of these men who served, because it truly an incredible story and an incredible legacy, and just, again, you know, paying tribute to those who, you know, stepped up in a huge way. And again, saved countless, if not thousands or tens of thousands of soldiers' lives in World War II.
It not only gives us an opportunity to really honor these individuals, but also for us to honor America, to really take some pride in not only our country and what was accomplished, but the creativity, the innovation. Necessity is the mother of innovation, and it's really evident with these situations. I think that there's a lot that can, you know, be inspirational about this, while also really taking some pride in our history and the individuals that made these things happen. There's, you know, in recent years, Winston Churchill, a lot of his documents from World War II have been released, and we're finding out about so many of these heroes that really helped us win the war in World War II. So much of this is not only interesting to, I think, just if you like history, but also a great opportunity for us, again, to empathize with our soldiers, empathize with what it is to be a soldier, and have some appreciation for all these individuals that it took to make these things happen for us to get to where we are.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I think oftentimes when we think of like some of the more historic and large conflicts that we've been involved with, we often tend to gravitate and learn the histories of, you know, the major players, whether it was FDR or Churchill, and, And, you know, we know a lot about their stories, but, you know, what about the stories of the men and women who are on the ground, who are experiencing, you know, the things that many of us couldn't even imagine? And that's why ever since I took the tour of the Veterans Museum archives last summer down in Madison, which I know we've also talked about as well, but, you know, I find myself oftentimes now just going onto their website and going through the archives because, you know, every artifact that they have within the museum and the archives has a story to it. And just going through and reading some of the stories, and it's just remarkable. I mean, you know, hearing some of the bravery, and then not just that, but then, you know, the stories after they came home, the challenge that they deal with, it's really humbling. And just, again, you know, it is such a gratifying thing to learn more about. And I'd encourage anyone to, if you get the chance, if you can't go to the museum itself, go on their website and go through some of the archives and just read some of these stories, because they are truly remarkable. And you will not have any shortage of material to go through it. Mm-hmm. You could spend years going through this, and it just goes so remarkable to know that in every major conflict going all the way back to the Civil War, that Wisconsinites have had a front row seat and played a really pivotal roles within our nation's history.
Mm-hmm. Sir, wrap up. I wanted to mention that you were recently named a school choice champion by the School Choice Wisconsin Action. What did that mean to you, and how did that come about?
It means a lot to me, and this is something that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, there are some out there who may be critical of the school choice and charter program, but from my standpoint, this isn't trying to replace our public K-12 education system. But more importantly, what it is about providing parents, especially those who may not have the economic means to provide a better education outcome for their children. Because at the end of the day, you know, the education is the key cornerstone and foundation for an individual's future success. And I'm a firm believer that no child should be, their future should be determined by the zip code that they're born in, but by providing them the opportunities to pursue their goals to the highest level possible. And that's why in this last budget, and this was really a historic moment where we actually had an agreement, and it was a bipartisan deal between the legislature and Governor Evers to have the largest increase in the choice and charter program since its inception back in the early 90s. And given some of the difficulties and challenges that we've seen in some districts, particularly in recent light of some of the challenges that are being faced by the Milwaukee public school system, you know, anything that we can do to help lift people in impoverished areas out of that, the best way to do that is to provide them these chances to get a good education, because that is the best and greatest tool to do so.
Always good talking and catching up with you, sir. Thank you so much for the time. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, they can shoot my office a call at 608-266-3123, or you can give us an email at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media, and of course, as it's fair dairy breakfast and parade season, if I'm out and about, feel free to pull me aside and have a chat. I'm happy to talk with anyone.
Always appreciate the time, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You as well, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Finding your next vehicle is easy when you visit the team at 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids. The wide selection of quality used vehicles is out of the park. From cost-effective daily drivers to luxury cars that match your style, you can find the ride you've been searching for. Make a line drive over after the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters game and discover award-winning service from the professional automotive team at 8th Street Auto at 4390 8th Street South, a proud supporter of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Go yard this summer with special rebates from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two people are dead after four vehicles crashed between Horicon and West Bend Wednesday. Dodge County Sheriff's investigators say a 17-year-old driver crossed the center line on Highway 33 and struck a pickup truck, which caused a chain reaction. An 84-year-old man and a 79-year-old woman were pronounced dead at the scene. 130,000 people are expected to be living with Alzheimer's in Wisconsin next year. Abby Meisner is with the Alzheimer's Association. She says 40% of cases are linked to risk factors people can control.
Things like having too high of blood pressure or not enough physical activity, lack of exercise, things like that, getting good sleep, all of those things are so important.
New research shows changes can happen in the brain at least 20 years before a person is diagnosed. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you're a farmer who hasn't been able to plant your fields because of the field flooding, there's a free lunch and learn next week. Portage and Wood County Extension Ag agents and the farmers of Mill Creek are holding the event for area farmers who may need more information and to help farmers recoup some of their losses. You can have a free lunch and learn about prevented plant options and alternative emergency forages on Tuesday, June 25th from 11:45 to 1:30. It'll be at Aaron's Event Barn, 3471 County Road C in Stevens Point. For more information, you can call Ken Schrader at 715-346-1318. The Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater announces the cast for their fourth annual Schmeekly Shakes production of The Merry Wives of Windsor. Performances are August 15th through the 18th at Schmeekly Reserve. You can see the full cast list on CWAC's Facebook page. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a feel-good story. A family of fourth-degree black belts stopped a sexual assault outside Houston, Texas. The attack took place Tuesday as the family was closing up their dojo for the day and heard screams. They rushed next door and found a man assaulting a woman. The attack was over immediately. The attacker was only a yellow belt. The family subdued the man until police arrived. Nice story. Revenge is a dish best served from the stage if you're Taylor Swift. Scooter Braun, the man responsible for selling Swift's master recordings to a private equity group, got a special send-up from Swift during a recent concert. Entertainment Weekly reports that the 14-time Grammy winner performed a medley of I Forgot You Existed and This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, two songs written to diss Braun during a recent concert. The entire audience was in on the joke and, along with Swift, literally had the last laugh. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and cool with highs tapping 70. Showers and thunderstorms drench us this afternoon, into the evening, and throughout tomorrow, too. This will soak us with heavy rainfall totals of well over an inch, bringing the potential for flash flooding. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? Aww. What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrow of Caldwell Bankers Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrow to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, June 21st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're welcoming in our friends from the Hannah Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. We have Christy Nevinsky with us. Did I get that,
yep,
Christy?
All
right. Oh, we
got
to write that down, Pam. I actually got a last name right. We appreciate you being here, Christy. Christy, this is the first time you've joined us, correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we have some really hardball questions for you that we're just going to make sure that we get the answer. No, we're going to have some fun today.
Awesome.
And we're going to highlight the Hannah Center and the amazing work that you guys are doing over there. If you don't mind, I always find that the audience loves to get to know our guests a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit of your origin story, where you're from, how you got into this industry?
Oh, man. Sure. Absolutely. So I grew up in Appleton, which is, you know, a stone's throw away from Rapids. Grew up in a really loving home, great parents. And when I went through college at UW-Stevens Point, everything was, the trajectory of my life was going in a really good direction. And after college, I worked a couple different jobs, ended up moving back to Appleton, and ended up being in a relationship that turned into I got married, and I became a victim of domestic abuse. So domestic abuse is part of my backstory. I love to say, for a while I said I was a survivor, and now I can say I'm a thriver from that situation. My parents rescued my daughters and I from that situation, and we lived with them for about 2.5 years, where they had to help teach life skills. They had to, I was basically a shell of a person by the time that we got away. And so that part of my life, I mean, if you would have told me as a college student that I was going to understand what domestic abuse was, I probably would have laughed at you, because that's not what I grew up in. So that's part of my backstory. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why I feel so compelled to do what I do on a daily basis, and to really advocate for marginalized women and children. Because I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. And there's a lot of us out there who do understand and who do get it. So that's part of my backstory. Mm-hmm. I worked at a domestic abuse shelter in Appleton for about 4 years, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. It's Harbor House Domestic Abuse Programs. And that was part of the fast track to healing for me, where I had to tell my story, educate the community, help people understand that domestic abuse and crisis can happen to anybody. It doesn't always matter what the backstory is that leads up to it, because crisis finds people. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't know a specific demographic. It just knows people. Yeah. And so now being with Hannah Center, it's a great launching point to be able to utilize my backstory to be able to help more people and to educate our community.
Christy, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for many reasons. One, just I think it's brave to any kind be vulnerable in public. And I appreciate that. It certainly ties into what we're talking about here. And while we've had many people from the Family Center or Hannah Center, or other organizations join us, unfortunately, the majority of the time, those individuals do have a similar backstory that they have experienced some domestic abuse. I myself, I've mentioned on the air a number of times that when I was a child, I was abused, and it's something that I'm still working through and still being, trying to be more open to being vulnerable with. It's part of the reason I bring it up right now, because I not only appreciate your story being brought up, but I really appreciate something that you mentioned in there, that a fast track to healing, that working at the facility in Appleton was a fast track to healing for you, that helped. I think it speaks to so much of when we're talking about this issue, this subject matter, how not only, I think most people can understand that it helps to talk to somebody that can relate to you or what you've been through, but I don't think we think enough about what it does for that person who is sharing that story, who is they're healing too, and this is part of that process. And you could have had something happen when you were a kid, like when you were 7 or something, or even in your mid-20s, and be in your 40s or 50s and still healing.
Absolutely.
And I think that especially, and I don't put this on society, we're a 24/7 quick society. I want my meal in a minute, all of these things. So we oftentimes think of healing as that way. And the people that are looking at this from the outside in, I think it's really insightful for them to be able to hear this stuff. Many of us who have experienced abuse in some form or another, I think get it in some level. It's so important for others out there to understand and have some empathy for this situation. And that's how we make real change in these issues, in these subject matters.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you, and thanks for sharing your backstory as well. And I just want to highlight a little bit too, and go a little deeper when I say fast track. So, I mean, those 4 years where every single day I was telling my story. Mm. I think when we've been through something really tough in our lives, we're in survival mode, right? Yeah. A lot of times. And a lot of times, even in our day-to-day, we're just going, pushing mm-hmm. forward, right? Because we have to make money, right? Because we have to provide. We need to take care of ourselves. And if we have kids, we got to take care of our kids. And so when we've been through trauma, when we've been through some sort of crisis, it's... And I don't want to say it's easy, but it's understandable when those that healing piece gets pushed to the side.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why I love the work that we do, too, because with HANA Center and with other organizations like the Family Center, which I'm a huge fan of the Family Center, we get to allow people who have been victims, people who have experienced crisis, we get to allow them the time and the space to be able to heal, mm-hmm. which, you know, they deserve that.
Yeah. So many, if not every individual out there listening or just out there in public, we're learning more and more about the brain. We're doing better and better things when it comes to mental health. But every one of us is trying to fix the boat while we're on the water. Mm. It'd be wonderful if, well, I got this issue. I'm going to go ahead and go away from, you know, work and everything for a couple of months and just really work on this issue. No, we, as you said, we've got life is ever going and everything. Time doesn't stop. So in the idea of healing is something that we oftentimes, well, I'll get to it. Right. You know, or I will deal with that. Just right now, work is just a mess right now, so I got to focus on that. It brings even more reasoning for having organizations like the HANA Center around that really get us to stop and think and hopefully heal in these moments.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what the HANA Center does, especially for those out there that don't know much of what the HANA Center is. Let's inform them. Let's let them know the great work that you guys are doing over there.
Right. So just a little backstory of HANA Center. So we started 31 years ago. We just had our 31st birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank
That's right.
you. So So that was started back in over in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and it was started by a group of people in the community who saw a need. They saw single pregnant women who were in crisis, who didn't have a place to go and needed life skills, needed people to come alongside and give them a hand up. I love that phrase, a hand up instead of a handout, right? Yeah. It helps our brains, for those of us who are in that place of helping, it helps our brains kind of switch a little. And so we don't feel like we're being taken advantage of, right? And so, they said, hey, we see this need. We want to come alongside. We want to pour into these women. Well, over the course of 30 years, they opened their sphere of influence and said, okay, there's more that can be done. There's more work. And so let's say any woman, any crisis with or without kids. Now, James, you know, like if you open that up, mm-hmm. any crisis, any, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That means that we get to help more people.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It really is.
So Marshfield has four bedrooms, and they are fully staffed over there, and they have a great volunteer program as well. And so about, I would say like 7-8 years ago is when people from the community here started reaching out and saying, hey, what about having our own Hannah Center in Wisconsin Rapids? And we were also seeing the need in Marshfield. We have a waiting list. And so seeing the need that there are people in Wood County who are living in Rapids who needed to be part of that program. And so then that started this whole dream and this vision of what would it look like to actually open a center here. Mm-hmm. And so then that launched into raising funds, because we needed to raise about $1 million to be able to purchase the center, do renovations, and have our operating costs for the first 5 years. Yeah. Now, what Hannah Center does, so we're not an emergency shelter. And I really love to draw attention to that because people can get confused. And I'm all about educating our community as to what each of the agencies do and what we excel in, right? So Family Center, they are, 45 to 90 day stay for victims of domestic abuse and sexual assault, right? So Hannah Center is a program that is 9 to 12 months. So that's a big difference,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we are better than another organization. It just means that the way that we do things is just different.
Yeah.
And so when a woman wants to be part of our program, she applies online. We do a whole interview process. We make sure that not only are we a good fit for her, but she's a good fit for the program. So we have two different curriculums that we use that focus on addiction recovery. And then another one that is all about mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And then we invite community members to come in and volunteer and teach life skill classes, because our entire program is an individual goal-based program that we build upon knowledge. We build upon the healing piece that happens as well. And we help our ladies go from point A to point B. Point A is, hey, I'm coming in. I've burned all these bridges with people in the community. Or here's my crisis. Here's the trauma I've been through. And I need help getting to point B, which is experiencing a life that is filled with hope and joy and peace, because I've done all of this work and I've accomplished all of these goals. And now I'm ready to move out, take care of myself, take care of my kids, and impact the community that I live in.
Very well said, Christy. Thank you very much for that breakdown. And it's a great point to bring up, too, where, with the Hannah Center, with the Family Center, the different bases that they cover here and everything. I'm a sports head, so I have to make sports references.
Yeah, you're good.
I apologize.
You're good. I grew up in a sports family. You're fine.
When it comes to that, because, look, and I used to say this to Deb and Sue from the Family Center whenever they come in to do interviews like this. I want to put them out of work. I don't want you guys to have to need this job. I want you guys to do other things and give a hobby or something. We would love to not need these things, but we do. And with that, there is a lot of bases to cover. There's a lot of different people that need help, that need healing, and they're going to learn different ways. They're going to need different ways of doing that. We all understand in school, I might learn different than Christy does. So a teacher adapts to that.
Right.
That's very similar to this, where certain people need a little more time or maybe not as much or different type of care. And luckily, we're very fortunate that we have these centers, that we have the ability to do these things. And the success of this is a community thing. It's something that the whole community can feel proud in.
And
take some pride in having these facilities in our area. The idea of focusing on the need of them or anything, it's certainly not something you can bury your head in the sand about, but I feel like that's data. Okay, I took it in. Now let's focus on tomorrow. Let's focus on helping these families. Let's help, how going forward with this and what we can do there and how we can learn more and be more a part of things. And one of the great ways of doing that, Christy, is having a ribbon cutting, of course.
Yeah.
And you guys got a ribbon cutting coming up Monday, July 1st, 10 a.m. over at the Hannah Center.
We do. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. I did try to tell Christy ahead of time that I wasn't going to try to ask too many hardball questions. So I do apologize to throw this one at you or anything, but have you ever done a ribbon cutting? Are you prepared to use the big scissors? Because that does seem a little, you want to be careful with that.
I should probably start lifting weights.
Maybe right. I can't imagine what this means for you, the facility, the clients over there. It's a ribbon cutting. And we see these all the time. We hear about these all the time. This one's different. This means so much more.
This one, oh my gosh. From the vision that was cast from the very beginning. The work that Tricia Fancher, who is the executive director at the Family Center, the work that she did leading up to myself coming in Rapids. And I cannot tell you enough. And I think I could sit here for probably a good 30 minutes and list off the amount of support that we've had from our community. I'm a huge advocate for Rapids. I didn't grow up here. I've been here for 10 years. I love this place. I love this community. People in this community, they are talented. They are resourceful. They are giving. And we got to be the recipients of that. I mean, we got a phone call from Love Inc. Love Inc. is a great organization, too. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Christy, we have this team of Habitat for Humanity workers who they're looking for a project. And this was like last August. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a project that they can work on? And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yes, I do.
Well, that became about 1,400 hours that these incredibly hardworking this group of men from Habitat for Humanity did, which saved us about $40,000 in costs, which you think about that as a nonprofit and it just blows your mind, right?
Yeah.
But it's not even just that. It's been, you know, the people coming in, different foundations supporting us, from the Legacy Foundation to the Home Depot Foundation, which they're putting in a playground for us next week, which is That's so fun, cool. Right? They just did our kitchen cabinets and they're like, let's do another project. I mean, people in this community they're catching wind of this, the exciting thing that's going on here.
I'm a transplant myself and moving to this area. And I any chance I get to highlight this area and talk about the people in this area, the way that they treat us, the way that they treat these organizations, the way they go above and beyond.
Yes.
It really, there's no getting used to it. I'll tell you right now, it's something that is going to, years from now, and as you said, you've been here 10 years, and you still, you know, kind of, it still hits you sometimes.
It does.
It's a wonderful feeling. And it's nice to be able to do this too with the ribbon cutting situation. This is great. Now we're going to get to, you know, check out see the Hanna Center. You get to see this and everything, know where the location of the building is, maybe learn a little bit more about the Hanna Center. All of that is really good. But one of the other things that this does, very similar to just you and I talking today, Christy, is get more and more to a point of where we're talking about these subjects normally.
Yes.
Not in a hushed voice or not, oh, I got to go over here to talk about this or something. That's how these situations, not only because of this, but one of the reasons we got in this mess and why we got this situation as bad as it has is because we did this for so long. It's a new day and we don't do that anymore. We're never going to go back to those days. And we got to make sure that we don't. And the way we don't is by not only us talking about these things, but say you have a child with you. And you are talking about domestic violence or anything, any of these subjects with another adult, that child's picking up on it. That child is got a sponge for a brain, and they're taking all this in. So how you talk about these subjects, how you handle these subjects with other adults or, you know, with your dollar and volunteering or donations or volunteering your time, they are watching. They are picking up on this. And as they see us treating this subject with more respect, as they see us hopefully treating each other and our loved ones with more respect, then maybe as we go forward, we have less and less of this in our society. And Christy has to find something else to do with her time. That is the hope. That is one of the things. And I think that it's a ribbon cutting. And that may be what you see there as a headline. But there's so much more there to that.
Yeah, there is. There is. And just you said something that just sparked this thought in my brain that we just need to keep exposing. Right. It's like it's bringing light to the situation. We found so many covered up windows when we were doing our renovation project at Hanna Center. And so every time we found a window, I just kept saying, let the light in. Like, let's bring light into this place. And I think that that's such a really great analogy and a thought to have about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Right. When you bring light to a subject that has been hidden and has been in the darkness for so long, we expose it.
Yeah.
But then now we get to look at it and we get to see how can we come along and make this like, this is my why in life, right? This is why I do what I do, because it was in the darkness before and now it gets to be in the light. And so as a community, we get to find our whys, we get to expose things, and we get to say, okay, how am I going to utilize my talents and my gifts to give back and to make sure that people are feeling loved and cared for?
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Christy Novinsky, director of the Hanna Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I want to remind everybody that the ribbon cutting is happening Monday, July 1st at 10 a.m. We'll be talking more about that as we get closer to it on our morning shows and making sure you guys got a good crowd over there.
Great.
Did want to spend the last couple of minutes talking about an upcoming project, Kairos Care.
So it's actually pronounced Kairos.
Kairos Care. I knew I was going to do that. It's okay. I got your last name right.
You did. That's huge. Most people don't. But yeah, Kairos is actually, it's a Greek word. And I heard this word at my church. A pastor was doing a sermon on this. And so, but Kairos is such a unique word because it means for such a time as this, right? It is for a season in life, for a specific time. And so so let me give you a little backstory on what this is for. So as we were going through our renovation project, I had women calling, women emailing, saying that they needed help. And it was so hard when you can't give them a bed to sleep in, right? You can't offer the program quite yet. And so about 75% of the time, I would apologize, but they would say,
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So I would have women call and email. And every time I would say, I'm so sorry, we don't have beds right now, you know, we're not open. And about 75% of the time I would hear back from them saying, Christy, I don't need a place to stay. I need somebody to come alongside me so that I don't lose my housing, so that I don't lose my parental rights, so that, and you fill in the blanks as to what they could possibly lose if they didn't have a supportive person coming alongside them in their time of crisis. And a light bulb went off for me. I just thought, oh my gosh, like, why wouldn't we enter into this? If we have a large percentage of people who want help, who need help, who are saying, please come alongside me. And women are resilient. Women are strong. And so when a woman is saying, I need help, we better listen.
Yes, well said.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's why that this program, it's our outside client care program. And so it's called Kairos Care because it's for a specific season in their life. It doesn't have to be forever. And so we get to utilize the same curriculum that we use with our ladies. We get to do life skill classes with them. The main difference is that they're not sleeping in our center.
Okay.
So, and then we can provide mentoring and support for them as they're going through whatever crisis or trauma that they are enduring.
And does something like this then free up a bed or a room for somebody else that might need it?
It does.
Okay. So what an awesome project that not only helps other projects, but helps this, you know, again, going back to what we were saying before, different people heal differently and need different assistance. So that's a fantastic project
Thank you. Great. So we're currently working on funding it. And so we are, I believe we're about 25%. We are around 35% of our goal.
35, yeah.
Not 25, 35% of our goal, which is awesome because we just started highlighting this back in April. So
that's, and again, speaking to what we talked about before about this community and the way they step up for these things. But we there is more to be done. There is more work to be done, and we're going to help you with it. We're going to have your back on this as we do. Not only our station and civic media, but our community does.
Fantastic.
So you did too good, Christy. You're going to have to come back. I'm sorry, but you just did too good
James.
Here. Yep.
No, I would love to. Thank you.
We're looking forward to that. We will talk more about the ribbon cutting. Make sure that you have a good crowd for that. Have you back, and I'd like to take some more time talking about this act, this project, and plenty of other things. Awesome. Thank you again for the time, Christy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You can find the Hanna Center in Wisconsin Rapids at 1320 Pepper Avenue, right here in Rapids. You can also find out more at hannacenter.com, hannacenter.com. That'll do it for Midday Magazine for the week. Remember, everybody, next week we are on 4 to 5, our new time slot. A big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing work she does. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll have more here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Summer is finally here, and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Natalie Yar from the Capital Times joins me to discuss film incentives in Wisconsin. And as always, Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares some great new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio,
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.